Welcome to the Helping Families Be Happy podcast, where we explore the often messy world of family, love, and relationships. I'm your host for this podcast, Christopher Robbins, the co-founder of Familius, husband, father of nine, author, fly fisherman, and backpacker based in the Central Valley of California. We hope to bring you nourishing, real-life information about love, family, relationships, and life. Now, I'm happy to introduce today's guest, Gabe Jensen. Now, Gabe grew up in Brooklyn. After working as an advertising creative for clients like Coca-Cola, Gabe spent 15 years making children's digital media for Poptropica, Miniclip, and Ranger Rick Online. Gabe is the author of the hilarious Neverwoof, a picture book about a dog who never barks, or does he? And Nocturnal Nico, a picture book about a young boy who believes he's nocturnal like nighttime animals. Gabe lives in Berkeley, California with three kids, a one-eyed cat, True, and a two-eyed cyclops, False. Now, today we're exploring how laughter and a sense of humor strengthen your family's relationships. This podcast aligns with the Familius habits: learn together, talk together, and of course, laugh together. You can learn more about the Familius 10 Habits of Happy Families by going to the Habit Hub blog on Familius.com. For the video of this podcast, please go to the Familius YouTube channel. Now, welcome, Gabe. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
I'm ready to laugh.
Let's do it.
No pressure. No pressure. So that's funny. Ranger Rick is a site. I remember having a Ranger Rick sticker on my door growing up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was the original.
That probably dates us both. Okay, so laugh together. What are some of the building blocks of families laughing together, and why is this important?
So I think the first thing is really to build as much shared experience as you can, because every experience that you have together, be it out in the world or just watching a movie together, creates, I think, a raw material for you guys to build humor from. So let's say you're out in the world and you see something funny, you see a cat jump out from behind a bush and maybe scare someone, and you can get a laugh from that. That builds up a sequence of jokes that can then be referred to in later years. So you sort of have this running tally of family jokes and callbacks that I think can keep you laughing for many years.
You know, and it can be such a stress reducer or a friction reducer. And last night, my 17-year-old son comes in, and he is, like many 17-year-old sons, he's angry, maybe he's hangry, and he's just not very friendly. And we sit down at the table, and he's not even going to sit down with us, and he's deciding whether he's going to eat or not. And I decide to tell a story about the time that I went to the dentist to have to check on my wisdom teeth, and they wanted to pull them. And I said, no, I don't want them pulled. They said, well, we can cut the gum around them. I said, great, do that, but do it without Novocaine because I can't stand Novocaine. And they said, we can't do that. I said, do it anyway. And then I proceeded to tell them how I had taken this Lamaze class with my wife. And so I was going to use the Lamaze techniques to do this. So I demonstrated this whole thing for the kids while I was doing this, you know, focusing on the dentist bald head as my focal point. And they all started laughing, and it really diffused this moment of my son being angry. So laughter can be almost a balm in those moments, right? And we have to take the lead on it. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I find it's kind of interesting that to me, a lot of our shared references often come back to movies. And what I think is interesting is that there was a time when I think TV time was, of course, considered to be a problem if you spent too much time watching a screen. What's interesting to me is that in today's context of individual screens, phones, iPads, and so forth, watching a movie together can be a very social experience, way more social than everybody plugged into their individual device. So I think that's a really important one. What we love to do is often rewatch a movie that we've all seen a number of times. And what that does is that lets everybody talk over it. You don't have to worry about someone missing the story. So then it really becomes much more of a family conversation than just sitting there watching a movie.
Okay. So we do the same thing. We call it Sad Movie Sunday. That Sunday night, we watch a film, and there has to be something sad about it, but it still can be totally comical. So what are your three favorite funny movies?
Well, we're huge fans of, let's start with the Lego Movie. Very surprising very surprising to have a movie made from a product, from a toy, actually go ahead and present some pretty amazing comedy. And I really love what the whole Lego franchise does, because it gives you a way to spoof on all these other existing properties, right? You're never going to see you probably won't see a comedy based on Batman. Batman's a serious guy. So you put the Lego in between.
He's dark and brooding. I'm dark and brooding. Hey, look, a rainbow.
Exactly. And I think that's absolutely genius. So we love that. We're also big fans of the Miyazaki films, all the Studio Ghibli. And I would think Porco Rosso, maybe one of our favorites. I don't think that's one of his better known ones, but there's a fighter pilot in the 1940s flying around Italy. And again, this is one where I think we feel like it's a little bit of an inside joke with, you know, within our family, because some people don't know about it. So we kind of feel like we're in a special little club by enjoying that film.
Some great examples are happen to be, what about Bob with Bill Murray and Richard Dreyfuss, which just has some really, really funny lines. Another one is with Ryan O'Neal and Barbara Streisand, What's Up Doc, which is a 1967 film, which is Aaron Bogdanovich's only comedy, and it's absolutely hysterical. And we've watched this film at least 100 times, and we have it completely memorized, and we quote it all the time. And then Mel Brooks' Young Frankenstein.
Wonderful. I'll put in my third one just to throw in a live action. We're big fans of Fletch.
Oh, yeah. Right. So...
A lot of great lines. Doesn't always age super well. And sometimes you got to rewatch these and ask yourself, that's how much of this stuff, but yeah.
Okay. So movies can be a shared experience for laughter. Are there others that you can recommend that you found have worked?
Well, so moving, I guess, out of the house, you know, we don't want to be sitting on the couch all the time. So I think expeditions as a family can be a great way to form that shared experience that can cause humor. So for example, one that we used to do when the kids were little, and I live in a place that's fairly, has a pretty busy pedestrian area nearby. This might not work as well if you're living, you know, out in on a farm. But so we said, let's go out and see if we can overhear someone with a British accent. This was our goal for the day. So we went out and we were just walking along, and you know, it's very busy. So you're hearing a lot of different people talking with different accents. Unfortunately, we failed on that day, but we did hear an Australian accent. So that gave us a moral victory, at least, to try to carry on with the next one.
Right, which is every time anyone says Australia, I think about Princess Bride, and Australia is entirely populated by criminals. So,
right. Princess Bride, another one that goes into the family vault of favorite movies.
Right, okay. So shared experiences, being outdoors, is finding ways to find. And I love how you actually look for something. Now, I've had experiences at work where people are stressed. And if I then decide for that day, we're only going to speak in a German accent or a French accent, that it totally changes the dynamic of the entire office, right?
Awesome.
We have ways of making you do your work today.
I love it. That's lay awesome.
Okay. So any other activity you can think of that might help us as we try to engage in laughter with our families?
Yeah. I mean, creativity is any creative endeavors you're going to get into are, I think, you know, are good opportunities for that. We used to spend hours making these Lego stop motion videos. And then, you know, of course, when you're done, you're left with, you know, 3 whole seconds. But, you know, just the silliness, just to throw yourself as far as you can into that silliness on the kids' level, wherever they may be. And when I say on their level, I mean even especially getting down on their physical level, right? If they're little, and being down on the floor with them and letting just the faces you make or the dress-ups you play just go full goofy, to the point where if someone on the outside happened to be looking in, you might feel like a little embarrassed. If that's how you feel, you're probably doing it right.
So you're talking about working with children that might be even babies to 5 years old, it's okay to get to become childlike.
Yes.
And engage with them in that level, because they can be so delighted in funny things, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. And another game that we used to play a lot, we called Talking Game. And it was, I used to love this because it didn't require any pieces. It was a game that was purely verbal. And it was sort of this open-ended story generation game. And what worked really well for that was I would start it when they were littler. I would sort of lead it. But then as they got older, they took on the lead role and I could slowly kind of back out and, you know, go off and do some things I needed to do. And they were engaging each other and it was very funny. And they had a lot of, again, long-running jokes over the years that they would incorporate into it. And they called it Talking Game.
Creating your own games. That's a wonderful idea. Now, okay. So one of the funny things I loved when I have 9 kids, as you know, and only have 3 left at home. It's almost like no one's home anymore. And I remember when the book Captain Underpants came out, and I thought that was the funniest book I had read ever. And I would read it out loud to my boys, and we would just laugh. And so I guess I wonder, and there's some potty humor in that end book. Where does potty humor fit into this strategy we have of helping our families laugh?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting one because, you know, I think a lot of adults understandably, you know, don't want to go there, don't appreciate it. And I think for me, the thing that's important to understand is that kids laughing about it is, it's actually a way for them to try to understand what could be a very complicated subject. What's embarrassing? What are the social constructs around that? And I think that in their laughter, they're processing. And I think if you think of it that way, instead of it just being like, oh, they're just trying to be, you know, kind of naughty or break the rules, I think that can help you to accept, you know, that it's a part of their understanding our world.
Part of their maturation. Like all kids go through it.
Yes.
And rather than just getting so bothered.
Yes, exactly.
We can navigate it.
Correct. In one of my books, in Neverwoof, the page that I've noticed the kids love the most is so the basic story is there's a dog who doesn't bark and there's this robber named Stinky Sue who says, oh, this is perfect. Since the dog won't bark, I'm going to go and rob this family's house. So she sneaks in and Neverwoof is sort of goes through this battle, internal battle. What's he going to do? Is he going to protect his family or is he going to stay true to his name? So he opens up his mouth really, really wide. And it's poised right by the robber's backside. And you realize, well, he may not bark, but he can still bite, right? And it's sort of this close-up, and you're kind of seeing, you know, the backside and the mouth. And kids are absolutely riveted to that page. And it's sort of tangential to potty humor, right? It's sort of, I guess you call it body humor. But again, I think it's just a way for them to engage with those subjects. And I even had, so, you know, the dog never does bite her. You'll have to read the book to find out what happens. But I had one kid who actually folded the page to try to like make that moment happen because there was so much tension built up that they wanted to see it released.
It is kind of odd. It is, for some reason, the idea of a dog opening his mouth to bite someone's bum is funny compared to a dog biting someone's hand. It's,
right.
It's the backside. It's the bump. There's something funny about it. Okay. Yeah. So you've written some funny books and you bring humor into books. So how do you do that? How do you try to bring humor into your titles?
Well, I think you talked about it before. It's about trying to get into, you know, a child mind state. And so, you know, as much time as I spend around my niece and nephew, my kids are a little older now, or going back to remember times that we spent to stay in that space. I think it's really important in kids' books today because I think we're in a time when there's been a move towards more serious subjects in kids' books. And I think that's great in so many ways. I mean, you see books now that can help kids deal with so many difficult things they may be going through. And I think that's really important. I think it's also important, though, to remember that kids do want to laugh. And I think oftentimes the gatekeepers of kids' books may not recognize that. They may not see the humor in it. And so I think it's all the more important to write those kinds of books. I had a writer friend give me what I thought was a great compliment, which was She said, "You've done something really brave with Neverwoof. You've written a book just for kids."
Yeah, that's true. And it's a fun package too, because it's kind of reminiscent of this 1950s design titles.
Right, exactly.
Okay, now you're a dad. You're going to come up on Father's Day here. What's our role as dads in terms of bringing humor into the house? Is it the stereotypical funny guy that they always show on television? I mean, we have many roles, but what's our role for bringing humor into the household?
Yeah, I mean, I think this role can be played by either parent, and sometimes you might pitch in together. But I will say for myself, definitely the physical, goofy humor, the having no problem being embarrassed. Maybe you're pouring something on your head, or I think I'd stop and say, I think it's really interesting where if you give kids, and this is especially little kids, you give them this sort of oversized sense of power over a world that they don't always control in a goofy manner, I think that they love this. So we used to have a game where when I was swinging my kid, when the swing would come back, I would pretend to be knocked backwards, right? So the foe being slammed backwards. And this was an absolute hit for them. And I think there's something there about when you take yourself down a notch, either through a loss of dignity or simply, the physical size coming down or a loss of control. I think there's more than just humor there. I think they're appreciating the fact that you're coming down to onto their level to connect with them.
Wonderful. Great way to strengthen a relationship between a parent and a child. There goes my, he's not called Neverwoof if you just heard my dog bark. So we know that laughter releases endorphins. We know that laughter can help reduce stress and anxiety. We know that laughter can strengthen bonds. So thank you, Gabe. Let's bring laughter and humor into our home and let's nurture it. Thanks for joining us. Now, it's always a pleasure to chat with you. Where can our guests find you online?
So I'm at www.gabejensen.books.com. So it's gabejensenbooks.com. And there you can find links to some of my images on Instagram and my tweets as well.
Wonderful. Now, as we conclude today's podcast, I'd like to thank Finlayus Publishing for their support in bringing the podcast to your ears and your heart. We'd be thrilled if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review on your social media. And when you're ready for that next amazing book adventure, we'd be honored if you chose a book from Finlayus. One step at a time, one laugh at a time, we can make the world a happier place.